Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
That's right. So if you wondered why it is that I'm here today instead of Dana and Parks, well, Parks has been out for a little bit on vacation, enjoying some time away. And, well, you just heard why Dana's not here. So John Grayson in with you, Sam Stevie alongside. And as Dan Weinbaum mentioned during the top of the hour news, it is Yom Kippur. So tzomkal if you are observant. And we got a whole bunch going on this hour of the program as well, starting with something that we were going to get into at the end of last hour and just kind of ran out of time for it. A story that came to us out of the St. Paul Pioneer Press about two bus drivers. Well, one bus, you don't need two bus drivers, but one bus driver and one aide, because apparently they send them out in pairs there, who managed to leave two kids on board the bus, dropped kids off at middle school. Two of them, I don't know if they fell asleep. I don't know what happened. And the article I have in front of me isn't really all that detailed about what went on here.
Didn't want to go to school that day or something?
Yeah, right. And they just figured, okay, we'll hide, you know, we'll be on the bus. But I mean, the few times that I rode the bus to school, and you never did you, Sam?
I never rode it to school. We did have it for different field trips and whatnot. But
yeah,
every
sure.
single time that we would take the bus for a field trip, the chaperone or the bus assistant would walk down the rows to make sure yep. that everybody was off the bus before we went into the field trip, and then, of course, returning to school.
Right, and you always had the buddy system going on, so
yeah.
you were responsible for one of your pals and all of that stuff. So there were things in place that would keep this from happening. The crazy thing about this story is that, like I said, the few times that I rode the bus to school, I probably came close to falling asleep because, you know, I was a teenager and I could actually sleep back then.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Right, exactly. It's not like it's a real exciting drive to school. But in this case, it was not even the short bus. It was the van. And there were six kids. That's all. So the van goes around, picks up six kids, drops four of them off at middle school.
Right.
Now, I'm not great at math, but it seems to me that if I was driving a bus and went around and picked up six kids and then saw four of them get off the bus, I think
right.
that might register.
Maybe the assistant was asleep, and that was the problem.
It could be.
It also sounds like since it was the van that they had an assistant, because it is a special student, I mean special in the least derogatory way possible, but students who need specific type of care to be able to get to and from school, and that's where the assistant came from. But again, you go around, you pick up six, and
right.
33% of them don't get off the bus.
Yes. And by the way, when I mentioned the short bus a few minutes ago, that's not what I was referring to. I know
no,
that,
I get what
that's,
you're saying.
That's a derogatory thing. But no, I mean, I've been in schools that were so small that there weren't enough kids to warrant a full school bus. So they would use the smaller one.
Right.
You know, it wasn't even that. It was just a van. They said 7:30 a.m. September 22nd, the van belonging to the Big River Bus Company in Hastings dropped four students off at Altman Middle School. Two children were left at the vehicle, and they even got to the depot and
left and
got out of the van. The two jokers who were supposed to be in charge of this thing got out of the van, left the kids in there, didn't know apparently that they were even in the van, and it was found out because the school as happens now, as soon as there's an absence, they text the parents.
Right.
Because you're
is Johnny playing hooky? Kids. Yeah.
Right. You're supposed to, as a parent, if your kid is legit sick or can't go to school that day for whatever reason, grandma died or something, you're supposed to call the school and let them know. So if you don't, they automatically text you and say, "We noticed that your son or daughter wasn't in school today. If this is an excused absence, let us know." And the parents were like, "No, they got on the bus. Gosh. How are they not at school?" And sure enough, they sent somebody at the bus depot out to that vehicle to check. And there were the two kids. They're fine, which is the good news in this story. But, they said, "This is completely unacceptable. We sincerely apologize to the students, their families, and the South Washington County schools."
Sole duty of the bus assistant is to keep an eye on the children.
Yes, right.
They have no other responsibilities. So were they hungover? What's going on here?
And they gave no excuse. They said, "We're reviewing and reinforcing all existing protocols related to this incident with our staff to ensure an incident like this never happens again." I don't remember if they said that they were fired or if they were expected to be fired, but one of those two things is going, you can't do that and maintain your job as a bus driver.
I don't know. It's not like we have a plethora of bus drivers these days.
Well,
you know
you
what
make
I mean?
A fair point. Yes, that is true. But I mean, how on earth does it happen? Because like you said, that was our experience too. Most of the times that I was on the big school bus, it was on field trips.
Yeah.
I was in band, so we used to take the buses to the football games and things like that. And we never had an assistant. We always just had bus drivers, but they would walk that bus each and every row, looking back and forth to each and every one of them. And if it was a night game, they would do it with a flashlight,
right,
just to make sure that everybody was off the bus.
And I couldn't have hidden on the bus anyway, given my size, but still, I can't imagine a reason why you would want to, unless you just don't want to go to school that day. But something tells me this was a special circumstance. Maybe the kids needed assistance getting off of the bus and into school.
Could be.
For whatever reason, the bus assistant just completely failed to do their only duty that day. And you're right, they should be fired, but I'd be willing to bet they're at a shortage in that school district the same way they are all over the country. They're going to get a slap on the wrist, and they'll be back at it tomorrow.
Yes, and that's not the only school-related story we have today either, because there was, and how bizarre is this? There was a guy who decided at age 22 go back and register in high school.
By the way, this is the third story like this in so many months.
The day that I finished high school, I left skid marks out of the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
I could not wait to get out of that place. And what on earth would get into the mind of a 22-year-old? And we do know the answer to that, by the way, and it's exactly what you're thinking right now. We'll get to that part of the story in a second.
Creepy.
But good. Yeah, I know. Good Lord. I go back to high school? I mean, there was a movie. There was a Drew Barrymore movie where she did that, and it was for, like, a journalistic assignment.
Okay.
And she went back to high school. But outside of that, and it turned into this bizarre romantic comedy. It was a really weird movie. But outside of that, I couldn't think of a single reason to ever go back. You're how old?
28.
So you've had the 10-year anniversary go by.
Coming up, yeah.
Oh, it's coming up. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to the reunion?
I plan to. I have not booked it yet. It happens to be Thanksgiving weekend. I don't know why they picked that weekend. Maybe because they think the people that are out of town are going to be in town. But I'm going to be out of town. So I'm trying to figure out if I can make it or not.
Okay. But you would go. If you had the ability to go, you would go.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I didn't go to the 10-year. I had no desire to see any of those people again, with very few exceptions. And those exceptions I was still in touch with.
Right.
So
you don't,
like,
need to go somewhere to see everybody else and also see them. You could just go hang out with just them.
Exactly. Just, you know, make a phone call and say, "Hey, you want to go grab a beer?" Yeah, whatever. But we did go to the 20, and it turned out that it was actually the best possible scenario because, you know, I guess in any high school experience, there are the people that you are friends with.
Right.
And then there are the ones that they're cool, but you just kind of travel in different circles and you don't hang out a whole lot, but you kind of know who they are and you just kind of nod at them in the hallway. And then there are the ones you can't stand. And when we went to the 20, it was a fairly small group of my graduating class. And the ones that showed up were all in that middle group. They were the ones that were like, oh, yeah, you're cool. So it was exactly the experience that I wanted it to be.
Oh, good.
And my wife was there, who we weren't married yet, but you know, she was there. And none of the real jerks, none of the people that I couldn't stand were there. One of them, I understand, did go to the 30th, which I did not.
Okay.
And was described to me by a mutual friend as a wreck of his former self. And I was like, oh, that's kind of awesome.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, typically if they're so awesome that they're the jerk in high school, a lot of times it's downhill from there. See, I was lucky enough to be the weirdest person possible in high school. So I did kind of exercise the thought experiment later on, a couple of years later, like, man, if I went back now, I would be way cooler than I was. But I never actually thought to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and sign up with a fake ID and tell them I'm 16.
And that's what he did. And so, and thank you for getting me back on track on that. So yeah, he used forged paperwork to make himself 16 or 17 years old again, and went and registered at this high school and did attend classes, which is, I mean, you think, how on earth does that happen?
Went out for the football team.
Yeah, and they didn't say how long he was there before they finally figured it out, but they did, and now he is in a whole heap of legal trouble over this, and deservedly so. But this isn't the first time that he's been in trouble with the law. He was in trouble with the law earlier for sending a nude photograph of himself as an adult to a 15-year-old girl, which I think probably gives a pretty decent-sized window into why he wanted to go back and re-register in high school.
Something tells me that this was the guy that was a senior hanging out with the freshmen, and then once he graduated was still hanging out with the sophomores.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Uh-huh. So, now, needless to say, the parents are losing their minds, and they should. I mean, if you're... check on that is so lax that you let somebody not only register with forged documents, but, you know, get into the school and actually go there. And like you said, go out for the football team. I mean, how on earth did the school not see this? Now, there was a guy in my freshman year of high school who was a senior at the time who looked 30. I mean, but he wasn't, you know, he was already balding, and he just looked much older than he was. He was only 17 years old. So you can't always tell just by looking at somebody, you know, how old they are. And some people do look a lot older. So you can give deference from that. But the other crazy thing about this is because I did change high schools twice.
Okay.
I went to three different high schools, and every single time, my parents were deeply involved in getting me transferred from one school to the other. How did this guy register in a high school with nobody ever talking to his parents?
And what was his excuse? Yeah, my parents aren't from here. Like, what? What? Yeah,
I live on my own as a 17-year-old, exactly. And they live in another state. No. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on this one. But that district, I mean, they're calling for the superintendent to be fired. They're calling for the principal of the high school to be fired. And I don't know what's going to happen to any of them, but I mean, clearly something has to go on here, because you think about how many kids, especially young female students at that high school, were endangered because of his presence there.
Well, and we mentioned it earlier this week, the basically a colonoscopy that you have to go through to even go into a school as a guest these days.
Yep.
And you let this kid, or sorry, grown man, somehow go under the radar.
Yeah, heads are going to roll on this one. We'll take a brief time out on that. We've got some more stories to tell you before we get to the bottom of the hour. Stick with us. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks. More to come.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At least it should have been for that guy. Again, a 22-year-old man re-registered in his local high school and forged documents and got himself in there, and we're just shaking our heads at how something like this could go on. But as Sam said, I mean, this is the third story in recent memory that we've had go on this way. 913-586-7798 if you want in on the text line or on the phone. Glenn in Kansas City took advantage. Hey, Glenn.
Yes, I did the same thing when I was 16 years old in Los Angeles. I enrolled myself into school.
Did you really? And they didn't ask to talk to your parents or anything?
Well, my parents was in Missouri, and they did ask to speak to my parents. So I had a cousin of mine come up and say he was my dad.
Okay.
And he wasn't my dad. He was a little bit older than me. He was like 8 years older than me. And they didn't ask for nothing else. He got me in there, and I started going to school there. And actually, I did good in school there.
Okay. And so how did you end up in California? Because, I mean, you were still of school age, so you weren't in your 20s at that point. But how did you end up in California with your parents back in Missouri?
Well, my mother and father wasn't together no more.
Oh, okay.
So with that being said, my mother had a handful. My brother was out there already. So he said for me to come on out with him, and I just came on out there. My mother didn't say nothing about it. I just went out there. I guess she figured I'd be okay because my brother was out there, and he was staying with my aunt.
Okay. So you had people out there to keep an eye on you.
Well, not really. That was the problem. I could do whatever I want, when I want, how I want it, and that wasn't a good thing. It was a lot of bad things that happened out there when I was out there.
Yeah, I would imagine. If I was left on my own at that age, I don't know that I would still be here. So,
yeah, well,
I'm with you, man.
I'm lucky to be here because I had used my cousin's ID. I used to get in the club at 16, acting like I was 21. It was just a big mess. My brother ended up leaving and going into the military, and I ended up going back out there at 16. I was actually out there at 15.
Okay.
And I went back at 16 when my cousin told me to come back out, and I found out who was taking care of me. My brother was. So when I got out there, I spent a lot of hungry, homeless days. It was terrible.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you made it through, man. Thank you, Glenn, for the phone call. I really appreciate you getting in. Let's go from there to we'll go to Darcy in Kansas City up next. Hi, Darcy.
Hello.
Hey there. What's
I was just calling about the guy who went into high school as a 20-year-old, and I would put 100% of the blame on him. I don't know if I would blame the school district or the administration really for that. And my reason for that is. If you're providing documentation, IDs, and support, like I wouldn't necessarily expect our school administrators or secretaries to be able to differentiate a fake ID from a real one. You know, that's kind of beyond the scope of what they normally do.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we don't know how good the forged documents were that he had. So, I mean, if he made it look real enough, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to put together how he did it without some kind of parental involvement. But, I mean, like Glenn just said, maybe he had an accomplice. If he did, though, they didn't say anything about it.
Right. And, I mean, I would imagine, you know, kind of the sniff test is how he got found out. It's just something didn't seem right, so they dug a little bit deeper. But if someone comes in with all the documentation that's required and it appears to be valid, then you know, I wouldn't put blame on the school district for letting it go through.
Gotcha. All right, Darcy, thanks a lot for the call. Again, if you want in, 913-586-7798. And I don't know. Like I said, I mean, the parents right now are losing their minds because it was their kids that this guy, this grown man, was around.
I was going to say, I bet the parents disagree because, again, as you mentioned, if they have a daughter in the school, that is a potential victim waiting to happen.
Without doubt. And at that point, I mean, you're talking statutory rape, if not actual, you know, not actual, statutory rape is actual rape, but you know what I mean. Sexual assault. And who knows what could happen with somebody that's that age and has 5 years more experience in the world, you know, and knows a lot of things that we didn't know necessarily when we were 16 or 17 years old. So clearly, because it's happened, I hope it gives reason enough for a wake-up call that they need to go back and put policies and procedures in place that will stop this from happening. It happened once or three times, not in the same district, but now that it's happened, go back, learn from it, and put something in there to make sure that this is not going to go on again.
And at least make sure the parents come in and enroll the kid. I can't think of a situation other than a very rare circumstance that Glenn laid out, which even his sounds like it wasn't the only option, but I can't think of a reason why your parents would not be present for that.
Right. And in Glenn's case, it also wasn't yesterday. You know what I mean? It was right. It was a number of years ago when
you could literally just walk into a school.
Yeah. And when there weren't as many ways to check somebody out, and now there are. So, yeah, I mean, if it's as simple as having parents show up, mandatory, you know, your parents have to come in and sign you in and show ID and and have your birth certificate with their names on it, that sort of thing. If that's what it takes, then that's what it takes, and that's how you get into school. We'll take a brief time out on that for the bottom of the hour. Plenty more coming up, and if you want in, 913-586-7798. Making our way through a Thursday afternoon, John Grayson in for Dana and Parks. Dana not feeling all that well today, and her voice more than a tad rough. So she's resting that, and Scott continues his vacation. So it's you and me together, Sam Stevie, of course, alongside. And if you want in with us, 913-586-7798. Sam, are we or can we please be about done with the Kardashians?
I'll be honest with you. I thought that we were done with the Kardashians. Well, let's see. When did they come to fame?
Yeah, right. About a week after that, right?
Yeah. Whenever they became famous, just go ahead and tack on 7 days, and that's when I thought we should have been done with them.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that I remember hearing commonly at that point when Keeping Up with the Kardashians first hit television and all of this stuff is, why are they famous?
Famous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that whole, I mean, that eventually leads to the rise of the internet influencer and all of this stuff. And it's like, oh, man, it's so galling. But anyway, we apparently are not done with the Kardashians because there is still a show on Hulu just called The Kardashians. It's not Keeping Up With anymore. That's premiering October 23rd on Hulu, or the new season is premiering on October 23rd. And in advance of that, I will give them this. They are about as good as anybody ever was at self-hype. There's P.T. Barnum, and then there's the Kardashians. So
the only reason they are still as famous as they are is because they figured out how to monetize the internet in a way that others still to this day cannot figure out outside of maybe Mr. Beast.
Right. And so in advance of this season, you need some kind of hook, right? You need to get people interested, especially if, again, you've been around for a while now. Everybody knows who you are. I mean, I never watched a single episode. I just had no desire whatsoever. I don't like reality TV to begin with, and I had no interest in the Kardashians, so I never watched the show. I don't really know anything about them other than people wouldn't shut up about them for a very long time. And so since you need that kind of a hook to hype your new season of your show and get people interested, you need some kind of bombshell that you can drop. And so it has happened.
Uh-oh.
Kim Kardashian said, I got a call from investigators. Somebody extremely close to me put a hit out on my life. Okay. If your life has careened so far out of control that you think I need to have Kim Kardashian killed, I have some serious questions about what else has gone wrong in your life. But she apparently said so. And the funny part about this story, the reason I bring this up at all is because, again, let me read you that sentence. She said, I got a call from investigators. Someone extremely close to me put a hit out on my life. According to the New York Post, the identity of the individual who allegedly made the call to have Kardashian killed is not revealed.
Okay.
However,
I think we can figure it out.
Well, apparently somebody thought he could figure it out because out steps Kanye West.
Oh, wait. No, I wasn't going to mention him. I was going to mention somebody else.
Oh, he mentioned him. He outed himself. I mean, he apparently went onto his Instagram and said, "Yesterday, Kim accused me of putting a hit out on her." Now, that is about the greatest self-own that I can remember because it's one thing to say, okay, of course Kanye West is going to think it's about him. He thinks everything is about him.
Well, everything is about him, duh.
Yeah, right. So of course he's going to think that she's talking about him, but she never said that. And by him stepping out and saying, Kim accused me of putting a hit out on her, he's kind of admitting that he did.
Pretty much, yeah. She never accused you, bro. Simmer down.
Uh-huh.
Now, granted, he's the first name that popped into my head when I read that headline, but...
Sure.
Yeah.
Especially when she says it's somebody extremely close to her, and they've been divorced now for how long? A dozen years, maybe?
Something like that. It's been a good while, yeah.
Okay.
How old is North?
Oh. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, Northwest.
Her name is Northwest, yeah. She is 12, so they've been divorced for probably almost a decade.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's, of course, he went on to say, he denied the allegation, adding, quote, "These ideas can actually get someone locked up. They play like that with black men's lives, whether it's," and he spelled weather like the weather outside, "whether it's getting them free or getting them locked up." I have no idea what any of that means, but apparently Kanye West is convinced that she has falsely accused him of taking a hit out on her. And you know what? I'm still not interested.
Great point from the text line, by the way. We can blame O.J. Simpson for the Kardashians.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because Robert Kardashian was one of his attorneys.
Thanks, O.J.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody really knew any of the kids. Robert Kardashian was famous for being on OJ's dream team. I got a great story about the dream team. I'll tell you in a second too. But nobody really knew who the daughters were until the sex tape.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's Kim Kardashian. She's Robert Kardashian's daughter. And then, you know, I don't know how long after that, but, you know, within a year or two after that, all of a sudden we've got the three of them on TV all the time. So
you mean one sex tape and I could be a billionaire in 20 years?
Apparently.
Okay. Sign me up.
Hey, you've got your plan laid out now, Sam. And, you know, you might want to go to a bachelorette party as a stripper and see, this is why you need to listen to the whole show, because we do those kinds of callbacks to something that happened 2.5 hours ago. And
that's the wrong kind of 20 years. I'm not looking for that one, John.
Yes. So all of that's happening. And once again, the new season of The Kardashians premieres October 23rd on Hulu, if you have any interest at all. And if you do, I would start to question your life choices. Couple of other things to get into. There has been yet another cruise ship that has become a ship full of people spewing things out of either end of themselves.
The Poop Cruise 2.0.
Yeah, indeed. This one, according to WTVJ, was a Royal Caribbean cruise ship that has suffered a norovirus outbreak that has sickened almost 100 passengers and crew members. They said, CDC... and said that at least 94 passengers on the Serenade of the Seas got sick during the 13-night voyage. Who would stay on a cruise ship for 13 nights? Wow.
And isn't norovirus highly contagious? So once people start spewing, it's pretty much guaranteed that everybody else is going to get it too?
Yep. They said at least 4 crew members of the 883 also have come down with a norovirus infection because of this. Have you done a cruise, Sam?
I've been on 2, yes.
Same here. We did Alaska about 6-7 years ago, maybe a little longer than that.
I did Alaska in 2015.
And when I was a kid, when I was 13, my parents sent my sister and me out on a cruise out of Miami. My sister's 5 years older than me, she was 18 at the time.
Okay.
But yeah, they didn't like us much.
I was going to say, they were tired of seeing your face and said, hey.
Pretty much, yeah. So it was Christmas of 83.
To the brig.
Yeah, it was Christmas of 83, and we had a fine time, but it was a 4-day, 3-night cruise. It wasn't anything crazy, you know. The Alaska cruise was a week, and that was plenty. I couldn't imagine staying on a cruise ship, but at this point, I mean, these stories are so common. I mean, you remember that coronavirus effectively shut down the cruise line industry.
Yeah.
And it took them a while to come back, and almost as soon as they started cruising again, norovirus outbreak, listeria outbreak, some kind of an outbreak, and they're just happening all the time. Now, there are hundreds of cruise ships that are out there all the time, so even though it seems like it happens every week, it's still a very small percentage of cruise ships, but it just has got to give you pause to think, okay, what if it does strike mine?
I was lucky that both cruises that I went on were perfectly pleasant. Both were a week long. I will say the only downside of the Alaskan cruise, and I said it was 2015, it was probably 4 or 5 years before that. I was 14. The average age of the cruiser on that ship was about 80. It was a long
and most
week.
Of them are, especially the longer cruises, that tends to be the case. And I would bet that on a cruise like this, if it's going out there for 2 weeks, you've got a very heavily elderly population on there, which is, again, bad news, because that means something like norovirus could conceivably kill you.
Yeah. So, there are people, elderly people, that rather than going into an assisted living home or a nursing home, will just cruise year round.
Because the expense is actually less.
Yeah.
And you get great food, and you know the services are all there.
They clean your room every day.
Sure. Yeah, you have everything you need. So, yeah. I mean, who wants to sit in an old folks' home when you could see the world and go off and do the cruise thing? So it makes sense on that front. But still, I don't know. It would probably take some talking to get me to go back on another cruise. And honestly, part of it has just been there, done that.
It's
okay.
Well, the one saving grace for the norovirus cruise is that at least the toilets were working, because that's what made the Carnival cruise that became the poop cruise so horrible is that they lost power, and all of the toilets on a cruise ship are on a electronic suction system. You lose power, the suction does not exist, and things pile up.
That's descriptive, Sam. That's well stated. Like I said, it would take a lot. One quick one here, and then we'll take a time out. We've got a conversation coming up with Adrima Denver, Bob Denver's widow. New book out about him. We'll get to that in just a little while. But this is evidence that no matter what your job is, even if it's something illegal, you still need to do your research. A young man in the UK by the name of Austin Karasani, age 31, is a burglar. And went to exactly the wrong house in... Oh, I'm sorry. This is a story out of the UK, but it actually happened in Florida. Wilton Manors, Florida. He broke into a house and found out the wrong way that the guy who lived in that house was MMA fighter Henry Rojas.
Oh! Those hands are lethal weapons.
Dude, the mugshots of this guy are stellar. Yeah. I mean, his face is effectively one giant bruise.
Right.
I don't know how he didn't get his nose broken. He apparently didn't. But yeah, he's got a black eye. His forehead is just purple. So,
holds up his phone for a face ID and it says no match.
No way, man. I don't even know who you are. So yeah, make sure you know, I wouldn't suggest burglar as a career, but if you're going to do it, stay out of the MMA fighter's house. More to come.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Deuce, okay? He says revved up like a deuce.
it's a reference. Why did he include the H in there?
I don't know.
It is Deuce.
Yeah, because in the original, it's actually cut loose like a deuce, another runner in the night, in the Springsteen version, which in my mind, I know I'm the only weirdo who thinks this, but I think it's superior to the Manfred Mann version.
I didn't even know there was a Springsteen version.
Oh, yeah, he wrote it. That's a Springsteen.
I'll have to check it out.
It's very different, and that keyboard part is not in there. It sounds a little bit more like 10th Avenue Freeze Out, if you know the Boss's catalog. But, yeah, I think it's great. And it has more verses than the Manfred Mann version has as well. So, yeah, really kind of a nifty cut. But, yeah, John Grayson in for Dana and Parks. And I know we promised you Dream of Denver. She needed a little bit of extra time, so she'll be here with us toward the bottom of the next hour. And we'll go over everything that's in her new book, Island to Icon. It's all about her late husband, Bob Denver, Gilligan, of course, and Maynard G. Krebs on The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, and Far Out Space Nuts. And, I mean, how much stuff did that dude do? I'll also tell you a little story about some time I got to spend with Bob Denver many, many years ago, but I probably shouldn't tell you, but I will anyway. As we get to the top of the hour, though, some sad news coming to us out of Azusa, California, where apparently a semi-truck carrying cases of beer was involved in a wreck on the westbound 210 freeway on Tuesday morning. After a semi-truck crash, they said that the truck carrying the beer nearly folded in half.
Oh, no.
Causing nearly 5,000 beer cans to scatter across the freeway. The California Highway Patrol issued what they call a SIG alert. I don't know what that is. For the freeway just west of Vernon Avenue, CHP said the two right lanes would be closed for several hours as crews work to clear the roadway. Gee, Sam, how do you suppose those crews are going to clear the roadway?
They're going to hop out and get as many of those beers as they can.
Yes, indeed. It's like, oh no, we don't need to put these in the dumpster there, Sarge. We'll just put them in the back of our car. Everything will be absolutely fine.
I mean, that is the worst case of alcohol abuse that I've heard in a while.
Yeah, no kidding. Just bad news. Uh-huh. And here's a bizarre one also out of Southern California. Two officers in Northern California, a suburb of San Francisco, were checking. They were doing a drunk driving check over the weekend, and they saw a car that made an illegal U-turn right in front of the cops. And so they were like, okay, that's a pretty dumb thing to do. So they went and hit the lights, and the car pulled over. And they got up to the window to write the driver a ticket and found out there wasn't one. It was a Waymo.
Oh, my gosh.
And so now they don't know what to do because they said since there was no human driver, they couldn't issue a ticket. And I mean, because you have to write the name of the driver on the ticket, and there wasn't one. So that included a photo. They had a photo of an officer peering into the empty driver's seat of the taxi. Waymo's, by the way, if you don't know, that's what that is. It's right. A taxi service in California that uses nothing but completely autonomous driverless cars.
Now spreading across the nation in Austin, Texas. Yeah.
Oh, are they? Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that they had gotten out of California yet. They did pass a law that said a ticket can be issued to a driverless car, but it's not clear who gets the ticket. So we still don't know.
It's almost like the red light camera situation from a couple of years ago in Kansas City where they couldn't identify who the driver was. So who do you ticket?
Right. Well, and what gets me about this story is that I was unaware until this happened that a Waymo, a driverless car, would even know if the cops had the lights on behind it.
So that's actually another major issue with the driverless cars is if they say they're on the highway and there is a officer coming the opposite direction, lights and sirens on, the Waymo will just stop in the middle of the lane.
Lovely.
Yeah.
It's such a great idea. We're so good at this, the driverless car thing.
Let's keep doing it.
Yeah. More to come after the top of the hour. Stick around.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime. at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.